This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We are processing here in the Commonwealth today after our first fully reopened weekend of the pandemic. Governor Charlie Baker lifted the remaining business and gathering restrictions as of Saturday and changed masking policies to follow the CDC guidelines. Let's hear from some of the people who were out and about this weekend.
It feels weird. I feel like I'm going to need to transition in and see what other people are doing and kind of go with it that way.
I have a lot of faith in the vaccines and the work that's being done, and so I feel great about being able to greet guests with a smile.
I'm not wearing a mask, and I am enjoying the freedom and the idea that we've gotten through this, hopefully, together as a community.
So we heard there both Kimberly Sapp of the A&B Kitchen and Bar and Beacon Hill resident Carol Hayton, courtesy of WBUR's Quincy Walters, along with a patron at Lucky's Lounge, courtesy of WBZ-TV. So let's talk about you. Did you experience maybe a full capacity stadium or a nightclub, attended a big house party, or yes, even maybe took your kids to a ball pit? So what did that feel like, and what does it feel like today? The morning after this newly unrestricted Memorial Day weekend, we want to talk about it, share your experiences, and what questions came up for you after this weekend. Are you feeling free? Are you still traumatized? Are you confused about the difference between mask policy and social norms around masking? Call 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And listen, later in the hour, we will also take your medical questions in our Tuesday Ask the Doctor segment. But for now, just how'd the weekend go? So we've got two guests joining us at our virtual kitchen table to talk about that. The joys, the discomforts, the kind of weirdness of this new normal. We have Radio Boston's Paris Alston and Jamie Bologna. Hello, Paris.
Hi, Tiziana. How's it going?
Great. Thank you. And Jamie, hey there.
I don't think I would take my kid to a ball pit even without a pandemic.
Okay. So right? Right?
Yeah.
No. And for listeners who may not know, there was a whole social media thing after the governor announced when the date would be to lift restrictions on ball pits about whether that was ever a good idea, again, in a pandemic. Paris, jump in. You were going to say something there.
Yeah, I don't have any kids, but similarly, I don't know that it was ever a good idea. Although the last time I was in a ball pit, it was my finals week during my sophomore year of college. So I guess I can't talk too much.
They're fun, but I think we did return to some semblance of fun this weekend, if, you know, the sun came out even a little bit.
So jump right in. Jamie, what did that feel like? What one thing you did this weekend that was that some semblance of normal?
One thing. Okay, so I went to the Cape this weekend, you know, family, spent time with family on the Cape, and it was beautiful and pouring the entire time, and we froze. And so we went to a movie, and this is the first time I had gone to a movie, and I can't even remember. I don't know if that's a semblance of normal because it was basically empty. No one was there, and I don't understand why. I mean, a rainy Saturday, what else are you going to do? But there were about 10 people in the theater, and it was, you know, 50-50 masked out of those people. And it just, it felt good to be back in a space where people were laughing and, you know, reacting to the movie live in a way that I, again, haven't experienced in a really long time. So I thought that was kind of nice.
How about you, Paris?
So my one thing is I celebrated a friend of mine's birthday this weekend. I drove down to Connecticut in the rain because I was so eager to see her and her friends. And we went to brunch, which is my favorite pastime. I spoke it like a true millennial, right? And it was just, the restaurant had this wonderful ambiance. There was all this, they were playing all this good music. There was lots of good food. We shared food, which I know is probably making some of the really like COVID averse people cringe right now. but it was just nice to be free. And it was only six of us, but it really felt like we were at a big party at our one table.
Tiziana, since I am sitting in your chair, I'm going to flip the script here for a sec. What did you do this weekend?
So, okay, so we actually, I was off on Friday. We went down to Florida. So I was on an airplane for the first time since
the
pandemic began.
What was that like?
Oh, well, for one thing, I literally couldn't remember how you're supposed to do some of the stuff. Like, wait, does my iPad come out at security or not? And wait, is this an airport where shoes come off or do they stay on? And how do the bins work again? It was funny how much of the basics that when you have a chance to travel, you don't remember anymore. And then I think For me, the craziest moment was being in the gym at the hotel and the workout with no masks on, and partly feeling like CDC said this is okay, and also how can this possibly be okay after a year of it not?
Well, you just
I hear you.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I hear you, Tiziana. Because I've been seeing people at the gym, and I'm not sure when I'm going to be ready to go back into the gym. I've been doing my workouts at home and outside. But I also was in Florida in April for a little vacation. And it's funny because Florida has been months ahead of us in reopening, right, for a while. And when I was there, people were a lot more relaxed than they were at the time in Massachusetts. So it was really interesting to see that happening here this weekend and kind of having that initial feeling of like, oh my God, there are people not wearing masks. But then reminding yourself, oh wait, the CDC says we can do this now.
Well, you know, the closest I've gotten to Florida in the last year has been the orange section of the supermarket. And I was there this weekend again, but not wearing a mask for the first time in a long time. And yeah, I get that, Paris. It was just, it was weird. I had the mask around my wrist in case, I don't know, in case someone said I needed it or whatever. I'm fully vaccinated. And but yeah, it was 50-50, people wearing masks, people not wearing masks. Obviously, people under 12 weren't wearing masks, were wearing masks. And so I saw that at the supermarket. And the sort of like getting out of my way as if I'm some kind of disease machine approaching, you know, and I felt very uncomfortable by that. I'm like, I'm okay, but how do you like say that publicly without actually saying it to someone? And the way we used to do that was to wear a mask, you know.
So let's get a call on that specifically, actually. 1-800-423-8255 to join this conversation. How was the weekend for you? We've got Molly on the line from Somerville. Molly, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to speak to the fact that as a parent, I have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old who are not vaccinated. So, you know, we have a mixed household. And I think it's really hard for my kids to see so many adults without masks on. You know, for us, it's not a huge change because while the CDC says it's safe for the grownups who are vaccinated, you know, our kids have had such a tough year. There was such little progress in terms of their ability, you know, for mental health, and they weren't getting, you know, the time in school with their peers, and now they have to wear masks when, you know, they're older adult, many times role models aren't. I feel it's a little confusing, and I think it's really hard for our kids, and it makes me feel frustrated because they're people too, and I worry about, you know, what this looks like to them.
I appreciate that call, Molly. I want to get one more voice in, and then we'll turn back to Jamie in Paris. We've got Stefan in Brewster. Hi there. Go ahead.
Hi. How you doing? Our weekend, my wife and I, we came down to the Cape. For us, not much has changed because she's an organ transplant survivor, or she's immune compromised. You know, she's part of like the, I think it's like 700,000 people who are, the vaccines are just not effective for them because of their immune suppressant drugs. So for us, we have to stay masked and be even kind of more cautious around everyone who's not masked, and because it's just so susceptible. She could get very, very ill if she was exposed to it. So the reopening is not much for us.
Yeah, I appreciate that too, Stefan. So there's two people, Paris and Jamie, saying, wait a minute, we're having a little bit different experience here. I thought that, you know, if either of those calls resonate with either of you, jump in.
Yeah, they know they do. And I appreciate the reminder too. Like, you know, we're coming at this from a relative place of privilege. We have our vaccines and, you know, just speaking for myself, relatively healthy. So, I feel comfortable following these CDC guidelines. I also have a son who's under 2 years old. So I also understand what Molly's talking about with, you know, being out and about in the world, everything's reopened and you have kids and you're like, well, wait, what do I do? I know we've talked about this on the show before. I want to bring my son out into the world and have him experience the world and see, honestly, things that should be totally basic at this point, like going to the supermarket or eating out at a restaurant, you know, but we've been hesitant. We haven't quite done that yet. So I get that.
Yeah, I do too, Tiziana. I mean, yeah, I think so. I have a father who is immune compromised. He's fully vaccinated, and I've been able to see him since then. But there still is that sense of worry, I think, both for me and for him and for the rest of our family members. and, you know, not wanting to put those people in jeopardy. And then don't think it's necessarily fair to just say, oh, well, you know, they should just stay at home if they're worried about getting sick. But there is this tension between this collective responsibility that many of us have felt for so long, but then also people wanting to get back to normal life and the realization that normal looks different for everyone.
Let's grab a couple more calls here. We've got Gordon on the line in Malden. Gordon, go ahead.
So I just want to share that I got COVID and was hospitalized in the end of March. And it's really no joke. And I'll just to explain two things. Like the way I got COVID, as far as we could figure it out, is that I live in a two-unit condo and the upstairs neighbor got COVID. And we didn't interact, but it would have gone through the heating systems, which are right next to each other in the basement. So, I mean, I just want to say, you know, it is absolutely no joke. I lost 30 pounds in less than 3 weeks. And if you think that's some glamorous thing, you know, you're more than welcome to suffer your way through it. I'm really glad that it rained this weekend, because it's really hard to imagine that all of a sudden all these people are just getting back together and that there's no consequence for that. That seems highly unlikely.
Gordon, thank you for the call. I'm sorry you were sick, but I'm really glad to hear that you came out of it. That's really great. Let's talk to Andrea in Hopkinton. Andrea, go ahead.
Hi, I am just calling because my daughter had her first mask-free sporting activity last weekend, and sure enough, on Saturday morning, she woke up with a cold, and we got her COVID tested, so she's negative. But I think it's probably going to be challenging for a lot of parents who have slathered their children in antibacterial lotion for the past year, and now they have masks off, and their immune systems are a little bit more compromised. So it's probably a good thing to keep them wearing masks, even though all of their peers are not. But also, I think, to be prepared for the onslaught of colds that are coming.
Was that an outdoor sports event, Andrea?
It was, yeah. She had softball practice.
Okay, thanks for that. I'm going to grab one more call here. Let's hear from Jeremy. Jeremy's calling in the car. I can't see where I think Somerville. Jeremy, go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I had a great weekend. I play in a band called the Chicken Slacks, and we played our first...
Oh, no, we lost him. So, Jeremy, I think we got you back. You played your first live performance since the pandemic started? Yep. We're going to assume that's what Jeremy was telling us, and I'm happy for Jeremy and his band. Yep. So, Paris, Jamie, we've got about a minute left here. Wonderful calls coming in. They're still coming. Mm-hmm. So parting thoughts from the weekend, Paris Alston.
I just want to say, I think everyone has to go at their own pace. I think it's really invaluable for us to remember that people have died and gotten really sick from this disease, and it's still out there, so we should be vigilant. But I do hope that people can have some vigilant fun.
I love it. Vigilant fun. Jamie,
how
about you?
I love that, too. Yeah, I mean, I really appreciate the callers reminding us, not that we've forgotten, but reminding us that this is a deadly virus. It has killed so many. It has disrupted our lives in so many ways. And yeah, I just want to, I guess, just second what Paris said there, because and I think we can hold both things in our heads at the same time. We can acknowledge the pain and suffering that so many have gone through and are continuing to go through, and also relish in the excitement of maybe, just maybe, we're starting to get back to normal.
All right. Radio Boston's Paris Alston, Jamie Bologna, thanks to both of you for joining us. Glad you got out this weekend.
Thanks, Tiziana.
Thanks, Tiziana.
As we heard before the break, Massachusetts just went through its first weekend fully reopened. That means masks off, although masks are still recommended for those who aren't vaccinated. Social distancing and restaurant/business capacity limits are gone. Private gatherings are a go. And more than 53% of the state is now fully vaccinated. And that's a positive test rate below 0.7%. Just try to remember the last time we heard numbers like that. News today now that Cambridge-based Moderna is in the process of seeking full approval from the Food and Drug Administration for its COVID-19 vaccine. Remember, so far, things have been authorized for emergency use. So this would be the next step. It's Tuesday. It's time to ask the doctors about all of this. What medical questions do you have about the virus, the vaccination, the reopening? Call us and get them answered. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Our doctors this week, Dr. Sabrina Asumu, Assistant Professor of Medicine at Boston University School of Medicine and Infectious Disease Specialist at Boston Medical Center, and Dr. Joshua Barocas, an Infectious Diseases Physician at Boston Medical Center and Assistant Professor of Medicine at the Boston University School of Medicine. Dr. Asumu, welcome back.
Thank you for having me on.
Dr. Barocas, thanks for joining us.
Anytime.
So, you know, we had all these calls before the break, people's experiences from over the weekend, sort of their lived experiences. And people called, everyone from, I was in a band and it was my first live performance, to I had COVID and was in the hospital in March and was just so glad to see it raining and keeping everyone from kind of busting out this weekend. As public health specialists, I wondered what the weekend looked like from your perspective. Dr. Asumu.
Yeah, no. Well, my weekend was a little different because I have little kids and it was raining. So we didn't really do very much. But listening to the calls and hearing all the perspective, it was really great because it felt like we're getting slowly to the new normal. So it's really great to see people who are vaccinated, who are venturing out, and really seeing that we're starting to get to the new normal. And the big messages for me is that it's going to take time. It's going to take time for all of us to feel comfortable in deciding what feels right to all of us. But my big message is get vaccinated as soon as possible so that we can all get there together.
Dr. Barocas, there is a lag, isn't there, between what the public policy says, maybe what the science is telling us, and what we are ready to adjust to, especially after a year as traumatic as this last one.
Yeah, you know, I've talked with family members and friends about this, and it's not surprising, right, that we're all getting there at our own pace. For a little bit more than a year, we, meaning me and other public health professionals, medical professionals, rightfully so, said, "Don't go outside! Don't go outside! Don't go outside! This is horrible, and it can kill you." And that's not an exaggeration. And then seemingly overnight, although this has been building for months and months and months, but seemingly overnight, we said, "Hey, you're fine, go outside." And of course, we have to somehow tap into our collective empathy again and say, you know, we've all gone through a traumatic event. Many people are still going through that traumatic event. And we need to tap into that collective empathy that it's going to take time for people to feel comfortable, either with the science or with the policy, just because we can't expect everyone to throw that mask away just because they're vaccinated. And I think that we all have to remember that.
All right, the lines are full already, 15 months into this, and every week we still have so many questions because, as Dr. Barocas just said, it's changing for us. So let's go to Paul in Melrose. Paul, what's your question?
Yes, hi. I'm in the group, the immunosuppressed medication group, but even though I'm on a mid-low dose methotrexate versus steroids or some other things, I'm just kind of confused that now I'm vaccinated, but What's the difference in terms of a mask indoors, outdoors, in a car with friends, vaccinated versus non-vaccinated? I'm just left still in the same anxiety mode of what to do. Thanks.
Dr. Asumu, can you help Paul?
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. This is a very important point that when we keep talking and making these recommendations, we still don't have enough information about what to do with people who are immunocompromised. So one way that I kind of think about it is, number one, what is the good news? The good news is that outside and outdoors is safe. And so, you know, I would recommend, you know, if you have to do any activities or do anything, go outside and enjoy, because the risk outside is really, really small. So outdoors is where you want to be. In terms of what to do indoors, the data that we have right now is for solid organ transplants. So meaning people who received, who are recipient of organ donation. And for those patients, what we found is that their response is not as robust as what we saw for people who are not immunosuppressed. So this is why we're still recommending for people who have some level of immunosuppression. And unfortunately, we don't have specific data for your particular circumstance, but we have, you know, information to lead us to believe that your response may not be as well and as robust as other people. So for that reason, the first thing I recommend is that everyone around you, if they can, to get vaccinated, because that's how they would actually protect you. And for indoor circumstances, you'll still need to wear a well-fitted mask. But the good news is that you live in Massachusetts, where we have really high rates of vaccination and low rates of infection. So, you know, this decreases your likelihood of getting infected with COVID. But, and we are actually doing studies to figure out so that we have better answers to give you. But for now, when you are in indoor space, it would be safer for you to keep your mask on.
All right, so lines are full. Let's get as many calls in here as we can. We've got Bia next in Revere. Bia, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is two parts. First, I have a baby who's 6 months, so he can't get vaccinated. My husband and I are both fully vaccinated. My first question is how to protect him. And part two of that question is, do you think that cases among small children will rise due to the unmasked folks that are out there now?
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Bia. Dr. Barocas, what do you have for Bia?
So first, congratulations on the six-month-old. Hope you're having a good time with that. I will say, so first and foremost, if you are breastfeeding, there's some amount of data out there suggesting that there's transference of what's called what are called antibodies and some amount of immunity to your baby. That said, we have very limited data thus far, and so I think that the best thing to do is continue to remain as vigilant as possible. And I think that we're going to have this theme come up over and over and over. This is where the idea of making sure everyone around you is vaccinated, because that forms a protective circle around the baby and around anyone else who's unvaccinated. So as far as the cases rising in young children, infants, you know, I think we're going to have to let that, I don't want to say let that play out a little bit, but at the same time, we've seen that transmission is has been fairly low in schools and among and in daycares, certainly has not been as high in as it has been in the adult population. Right now, I don't see any reason to believe. And you'll notice that I use the words right now. Right now, I don't see any reason to believe that we're going to see cases surging among kids younger than vaccine age. Again, there's probably some amount of herd immunity going on. So we're forming a collective barrier around our kids, which is good. We'll have vaccines come out soon, but we're going to have to wait and see how this plays out over the next number of months.
Let's keep going to those phones. 1-800-423-8255 to ask your question. We've got a couple on vaccines here. Let's pick up John in Winchester. John, go ahead.
Hi. I'm an early participant in the, or was, I guess, an early participant in the phase 3 Novavax study. I got the you know, blinded jab back in January. I just did the crossover bit a few weeks ago, got the what I'm assuming was probably two placebos. But I'm curious, how should I view when I'm, you know, declaring that I am vaccinated? Am I allowed to say that, even though it's not yet EUA approved, but numbers have been good in other countries?
And you've been told that you did in fact receive the vaccine, John?
Yeah. So the crossover, it's they're giving you the opposite of whatever they gave you in January.
Got it. Okay. And let's grab one more call on a similar subject. We've got Estella on the line and Bill Ricca. Estella, go ahead.
Hi. So I am a teacher, and I got the first vaccine available whenever it came up, and I got Johnson & Johnson. And I'm wondering if at some point soon before the next school year starts whether I should be going and getting one of the Moderna or Pfizer ones, since they're two different kinds of vaccines and the efficacy rate is not as good with the Johnson & Johnson as it is with the others. And it sounds like there are boosters coming up for the Moderna especially, and not for, I haven't heard anything about Johnson & Johnson. So that's my question.
Okay. Thanks for that. And I'll take those one at a time. And Dr. Sumo, I'll come back to you. So we have somebody who's been in a phase three trial for another vaccine. And of course, this could come up from somebody who maybe was in Europe and got an AstraZeneca vaccine as well. So Novavax isn't the only possible example here. If you had some other vaccination than the three that are authorized for emergency use in the U.S., do you follow the guidelines for vaccinated folks in the U.S.?
This is a very interesting question. For first of all, thank you for volunteering so that, you know, you can help get all of us to the new normal. So thank you for pretty much, you know, volunteering for this study. In terms of the Novavax, so the data that have been out have been very encouraging, but they have not been published in the US, and I personally haven't had a chance to review them because they haven't been, you know, it hasn't been put forward for emergency use authorization. So it'll be really hard for me to comment on the specifics of this vaccine. So what I would recommend is until that data are out and that the FDA in the US has had a chance to review the data, I think that the best thing would be for you to continue to follow the recommendation from the clinical trials, but follow the recommendations for someone who hasn't been vaccinated. My guess is that you're probably protected because it's a good vaccine and it's you're going to be protected. But until we have actually the data to know exactly how they're going to work in the US, it's really hard to be able to make educated recommendations. But the good news is that we're expecting that these data are going to come out hopefully relatively soon so that we'll be able to give you more precise recommendations. So to summarize is that I think that if you've been vaccinated, you're probably going to have some form of protection, but being able to tell you exactly how much is it's hard to know in the US because those data are not available.
Thank you. And so Dr. Barocas, I'll come over to you now. Now, last week we had a similar call that Dr. Cassandra Pierre answered about, wait, I think J&J is not as effective as Moderna and Pfizer. Should I get one of the other ones? She reminded us that those are not necessarily an apples to apples comparison because the J&J shot was tested in the context of variants that Moderna and Pfizer weren't in those original trials. But we're going to continue to get questions about boosters, crossover between the vaccines, and we continue to hear from listeners that they're just concerned that if they got the J&J shot, somehow they're less protected. So can you address that?
Yeah. So unequivocally, you are not less protected if you got the Johnson & Johnson compared to Pfizer or Moderna. There's always the chance of breakthrough, what we call breakthrough infections. Remember that these vaccines are in any world are not 100% effective against all of the any type of infection. That said, you are well protected with the J&J, you're well protected with Moderna, and you're well protected with Pfizer. As far as boosters are concerned, the jury is still, and literally the data are still out. We haven't been at this that long. These are still evolving questions. For right now, there's no evidence to suggest that you're going to need, if you're Johnson & Johnson, you're going to need a booster compared to a Moderna or a Pfizer. And we don't know what it's going to look like if you should or need to cross over. For right now, we know that there's prolonged immunity that you have from any of the vaccines. And if we're looking into the early fall, as many teachers and students are probably starting to think about, even though we're just wrapping up the school year, there's no evidence right this moment to suggest that you're going to need a booster come, you know, September 1st. I would imagine that over the next few months, we'll learn a lot more. So I would say stay tuned. But right now, please know that with the very few exceptions, you are well protected if you have Johnson & Johnson.
So, Dr. Asumu, let me come back to you and just pick up that thread, because we now know that Moderna is seeking full approval for their vaccine. That is an administrative step, I understand, with the Food and Drug Administration. Should it receive full approval, again, does that change what's happening in anybody's bodies or anybody's safety or status in terms of a vaccine they've already received if one of these has moved from authorized for emergency use to fully approved?
No, the science is still the same. What the official approval does is, first of all, you require additional data. For emergency use authorization, you require 2 months of data to show to the FDA that the vaccine is safer or ineffective. For full approval, you need at least 6 months. So that is also why there was a delay. And you have to show to the FDA that you actually have that accumulating data. But given the data that we've seen and all the people who, number one, you know, participated in the trials and all the people who've been vaccinated, essentially, in terms of how the vaccines and how well they work, it's not really going to change any of the science. But what it is going to change is hopefully convince more people to get vaccinated, because, you know, we still have people who are hesitating to get vaccinated because they want this vaccine to be fully approved. So I think that the step of having these vaccines go through the full approval is actually hopefully going to help with building vaccine confidence. But in terms of the science, it's not going to change anything.
Let's see if we can grab one more quick call. We've got Fran in Plimpton, Massachusetts. Go ahead, Fran.
Hi, thanks. I am wondering if there's any data on what you just referred to as the breakthrough cases, if you're 90% safe. The 10%, do we know who is getting the virus
or how
they got it?
Great. All right. And Dr. Brokus, we're limited on time, but a quick response to Fran. Do we know, are there patterns to who's getting breakthrough cases?
Very quickly. So the CDC does have this data available on their website, on cdc.gov. Thus far, we know that we've gotten about 2,400 or so breakthrough hospitalizations, a very, very small number of hospitalizations, of course, when you consider the number of people who have been vaccinated. A small number of asymptomatic infections, a large number of people who are over the age of 65. There's a breakdown that I believe is half and half male and female. These data are still coming through. We know that there's breakthrough cases when it comes to people who are immunocompromised. But aside from that, we don't have a lot of data thus far that's being collected as we speak.
Is it safe to say then, Dr. Barocas, that the pattern seems to be those who might have been particularly vulnerable to the virus prior to vaccination are now seeming to be more vulnerable to the possibility of breakthrough cases or serious breakthrough cases?
It seems that way. And I think that it's a good reminder, just if I may very briefly, Tiziana, it's a good reminder that what we're talking about is this return to normalcy right now. Everything is looking up right now. And I love that. And I think that what we do need to remember is that this is still an evolving process. It will continue to evolve over the next 6 to 12 months, and that everyone should be ready and open with the idea that, you know, we might have some return to abnormalcy as opposed to normalcy. I hope that that doesn't happen, but staying on top of good practices, good hygiene, and making sure that people are doing the safest things possible is how we're going to get through this.
All right. And that's Dr. Joshua Barocas, infectious diseases physician at the Boston Medical Center and assistant professor of medicine at the Boston University School of Medicine. And Dr. Sabrina Asumu, assistant professor of medicine at the BU School of Medicine and an infectious disease specialist at Boston Medical Center as well. Drs. Barocas and Asumu, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.